In the name of Jesus, my dear fellow students who sit at the feet of the Master Teacher Jesus. There's only been one other time in my ministry where I've preached on Psalm 78, and it turned out to be a pretty memorable event for me. And so I thought I would tell you the story, and we'll use that as kind of the jumping off point for a hopefully a more helpful, thorough understanding of what Psalm 78 is all about and a blessing for us. So, three of my four kids went to Luther Prep School. Remember, we lived down in Tennessee for most of my ministry. We've only been back up here 3 years. And three of my four kids went to Luther Prep. And Luther Prep has a tradition that on homecoming weekend, they have a homecoming worship service. Usually, they want the kids to go to local congregations, and so usually on Sundays, there's no church. But on homecoming weekend, there is. And what they do is they invite two dads, who are pastors, who have kids on campus at the time, and they organize the service, put it together. One of them does the liturgy, and one of them preaches. Well, this one year, they asked Pastor Paul Hirsch and myself. And so together we put together a service about Christian education. And Paul said he'd rather do liturgy and do the service part, and he'd prefer if I preached. Okay, cool. And Psalm 78 was the text. So, it's getting close to the day of homecoming. And the week before, I just had one of those running weeks. I had a ton of stuff to get done. We were going to be gone for a while, so I had the pre-vacation thing to do and all that. I didn't get the sermon finished. I had the text study done. I'd studied the Hebrew and dug out a bunch of stuff, had a whole bunch of thoughts, but I wanted to organize it and put it onto paper. And so the plan was, well, my lovely wife Beth drove the 13 hours, or a portion of the 13 hours, up to Luther Prep School. I was going to have my laptop and I was going to type a sermon. So Thursday came. Thursday afternoon, we take off. It's just a gorgeous, glorious day. Sun's out. Color is starting to change in East Tennessee. And the further north we got, the more color change, of course, we saw. The traffic was flowing nicely. We were excited. We were going to be seeing friends we haven't seen in years. We were going to be seeing three of our four kids. We were going to see my parents. In short, life was good. We were rolling. We were excited. And just as we were getting close to Lexington, Kentucky, about 4 hours into the trip, I received this text message from my secretary. There was a horrible school bus accident today involving David Crockett High School students. There were 67 students on the bus, which flipped multiple times, with 10 to 12 critically injured. I didn't know if y'all had left yet, but thought you would want to know this. And wow, did the mood in the car change. All of a sudden, life was very real, very fast. And of course, my head immediately started spinning. Okay, David Crockett High School. Do we have any kids at David Crockett? No, all our kids are at Science Hill or at Dobbins Bennett or up in Bristol. Okay, do we have any of our members who teach at David Crockett? Nope, none of our members teach there. There's Indian Trail, So our congregation was not touched. But then, of course, I just kept thinking, what about those families? Can you imagine their emotions? Can you imagine how they're thinking as they drove up to that bus crash site? Or as they rushed to the local church that had been turned into a staging area? Or even went straight to the hospital? What about my kid? Is my kid all right? Can you imagine how all the things they had been probably thinking about before that, things like, boy, my job just doesn't seem to be as great as I used to think. Or, man, this job is great. Or, should I change jobs? Or, should I switch careers? Or, should I go back to school? Or, what should we do with that house? And how are our finances? Can you imagine how all that stuff just went right out the window? Because life was very real. at that moment. So, if you had been a parent with a child on that bus, what thoughts would have given you comfort as you rode up? Would you have been comforted, for example, if you thought to yourself, wow, I'm really glad that I spent all that time and money on traveling baseball or traveling soccer. That really gives me help and assurance. That wouldn't have helped you. Or, wow, I'm really glad that my kid was doing so well scholastically because obviously they're going to make some good money someday out in the world. Would that thought have helped you as you came? Oh, it wouldn't. My kid's popular. My kid's pretty. My kid's good looking. My kid gets good grade. My kid, any of it? No. Which helps us to understand why the psalm writer says, oh my people, listen to my teachings. Because that, and only that, would give encouragement. I will open my mouth in parables, the psalm writer says. That Hebrew word for parable is an interesting word. It's got a whole bunch of different nuances, but part of what a parable is meant to do is it's meant to open people's eyes away from what they might wish for and want, and instead focus their eyes on what's real. In addition, it's supposed to help people make clear, accurate judgments about themselves and their situation. Okay, dads, what do you think? Would you like your children to live in a world of wishes and hoped-fors? Or would you like your kids to understand what's real? Know what I want? Would you like your kids to be able to make clear, accurate judgments about themselves and their situation? Yeah, I would. Well, how do I do that? The psalm writer tells us. We will teach the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. We will not hide them from our children. In other words, we're going to do our best to make sure that our children know who Jesus is, who our God is, and what our God has done for us. Because that's real. And so the next question that becomes, I think, pretty obvious is this. Have we done it? Can my kids look at me 100% of the time and say, it's obvious that Dad's a believer in Jesus. Look how he talks. Look how he acts. Look how he thinks. Look what attitudes he brings to life. 100% of the time, can my kids look at me and say that? I wish they could. But the parable leads me to see reality. No, I haven't been 100% of the time perfect dad. I haven't 100% of the time made it clear that I was a believer in Jesus from my words, actions, attitudes. All too often, I've hidden God's words by failing to live, failing to talk, failing to act in a way that's God-pleasing. Oh, sometimes I'm trying, and I just blow it. You too? Sometimes I just kind of forget what God says. I don't even think about it. You too? Sometimes most bothersome, I know what God says. And I do something else. Ugh. And whenever that happens, I'm hiding God and His Word from the people who are around me. It's interesting, that Hebrew word that's translated hide or hidden, that word has the idea of shame being attached to it. In other words, I hide something that I'm ashamed of. In other words, when I'm sinning, I'm in a sense saying that I'm ashamed of God and His words. Whoa. That a sinful human being would be ashamed of God and His words? How much we deserve God's condemnation. I wish that weren't so. But this is what reality is. And you know what? Your children need to know that. Because if they don't know that, then they won't be interested in clinging to a Savior. Because thank God, the psalm writer did not say to us, tell your children about your own great deeds and how great you are. Instead, the psalm writer said, tell your children the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and how great He is. And then what happens in Psalm 78 is it goes on for another like 50, something like that. It's a really long psalm. And it recounts a whole bunch of the things God did in Old Testament times, particularly when the Israelites were coming out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so what were some of those great praiseworthy deeds of the Lord? Well, you might remember that God had Moses touch the Nile River with his staff and God turned the whole Nile River into blood. Whoa, that's powerful. You might remember how God brought flies and gnats and frogs and darkness to the land of Egypt. You might remember the Passover and how God allowed the Israelites to paint the lamb's blood on their doors, doorposts and thresholds, so that when the angel of death came through, the firstborn in the Egyptian houses died, but not in the Israelite houses. They were saved. Those things are real. Those things are powerful. Those are the things that your God is able to do. And did you catch it? It's not just any God who's able to do it. It's your God. It's your God who is able to lead the Israelites to the Red Sea and split it in half so that the Israelites could walk through on dry ground. It's your God who could lead the Israelites with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It's your God who is able to rain down manna and quail from heaven so that the people could eat and have their fill. That's your God. Those things are real. And oh, how we want our kids to know those things. Amen? Because that tells our kids that they have a God on their side who is strong and powerful. What a blessing. Oh, but it gets even better. Because that strong, powerful God was willing to take on weakness. Why? Partially so that He could utter His or that He could open His mouth in parables. Oh, yes. See, Psalm 78 is first and foremost about Jesus, your Savior. Matthew 13 tells us that. And Jesus often opened His mouths in parables so that we could not live in la-la land, but we could understand what's real. And that Savior, Jesus, took those statutes that God had given to Jacob, and Jesus kept those statutes perfectly. I smashed them to smithereens. Jesus did what I couldn't do. Kept them perfectly. And then Jesus, He went to the cross so that He could win forgiveness for you and for me. I wish I didn't need to have a Savior. But I'm really happy to know that what's real is that I have one who paid for my sins in full. Dads, what could you give to your kids that would be more precious than that? Than for them to know that the all-powerful God has washed away all their sins, and so that they now stand before God as right. Could there be anything more precious that you could give to your kids? No, there could be nothing. And yes, dads, that responsibility, that honor is yours. So what about that bus crash? Well, the text that I got from my secretary, she had done it right after the news had broken. Reports, of course, at that point were incomplete and more details came in. Thank God there were no fatalities. There were a lot of injuries. One student broke their spine, a number of broken bones, some concussions, but overall, none of them appeared that they would be life-threatening or life-changing. In other words, thank God it turned out to be nowhere near as bad as it first looked. Thank God. But it's sure a dose of reality, isn't it? I wish that life was always pleasant and happy and joy-filled. The reality is, life is often really tough. Will you be ready on the day that the phone call comes to your phone? Yes, you will be. Because you know the deeds of your God and what He has done for you. You'll be ready. My secretary added one last thought at the end of the text message, and in the context of the rest of the message, it was almost humorous. The next and the last thing she said was, "Safe travels." And yet it was totally appropriate at the same time, wasn't it? Because who went with us? The Almighty God who could open the Red Sea, who could stop the sun in the sky, He was with us. And indeed, that same God loved us dearly. And so if it was our time to go to heaven, that'd have been okay. And if it was our time to go up to MLPS or LPS and then come back, that's fine too. And that God who traveled with us travels with you. No, that's not just hope for, wish for. That's real. Safe travels. Amen? Amen. And amen.